The following is a pre-recorded program.
I'm going to give you my spiritual take on the political world today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, welcome to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. As always, thrilled to be with you. I'm not taking your calls today. Should be taking calls the rest of the week. But I want to share a lot of things I believe you'll find practical, helpful, as we're here 5 days a week to infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong on the front lines. It's a crazy world we live in. I mean, that's reality. We're all in the line of fire. It's not just talk. It's not just hype. It's the reality that we live in. As I talk to believers all over the country, and of course all over the world, but just thinking now within America, it's an unusual time. It's an especially intense time. In many ways, especially difficult time. And navigating the political realm, which is so explosive and so intense, it can be very challenging. So I want to do my best to provide you with moral sanity and spiritual clarity. By the way, we have never had this much enthusiasm for anything that we've put out as we're seeing for people signing up for the new Frontline newsletter. And we're getting great reports from our readers. I am so, so blessed with what we're seeing and what we're hearing. And I'm working now on the content for the March newsletter. And I'm just really excited about getting this out to you, sharing what our fire team is doing all around the world, talking about the things we're seeing with our own eyes. I am so privileged to get to do what we do, sharing the gospel with Jewish people around the world. Just amazing things happening. So if you're not getting the Frontline newsletter, by all means, sign up today. If you get my emails, then you're getting it, all right? Otherwise, sign up today. I just found out from our office that if you sign up today, we'll immediately send you the February newsletter as well. So you'll get these amazing stories and stories from the gospel of Jesus being preached in mosques in the Middle East with some of our extended fire families. So go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. And right there on the homepage, you'll see where you can subscribe for the Frontline newsletter. And we'll put you on our welcome tour, tell you more about my testimony from LSD to PhD, tell you about the three R's of our ministry. If you've been listening regularly, you know what they are. Come on, let's say them together. Revival in the church. That's our first R. Gospel-based moral and cultural revolution in society. That's our second R. And the redemption of Israel. That's our third R. And together, we are making a difference. Together, we are seeing lives being dramatically changed. All right, the Supreme Court ruled 9-0. That individual states, it started in Colorado, did not have the right to remove Donald Trump from the ballots. Now, the fact it was 9-0 says a lot, right? Because the court is so divided, primarily conservative, but then liberal. And some of the conservative, very conservative, some of the liberal, very liberal. So it's strongly divided. And some of the big controversial opinions in recent years have been 5-4 rulings. The overturning of the meaning of marriage in 2015 was a 5-4 ruling. Sometimes it's just one justice is the swing vote. This time it was 9-0. And I'm not a legal scholar, but to me it seemed the only way the court could rule. Now, I didn't expect it to be 9-0, but that means it's that egregious. That means it's that blatant. That means that an individual state made decisions, or an individual political leader made decisions that they did not have the right to make. Now, the argument was that President Trump was involved in starting an insurrection, that he was directly responsible for the results and the events of January 6th, and that that was a legitimate attempt to overthrow the government, and therefore President Trump, under that, should be barred from being on the ballot. I'm pleased the Supreme Court ruled the way it ruled for a number of reasons. One, I believe it was the right reason. I believe that Donald Trump is morally responsible for what happened on January 6th, in that there was incendiary rhetoric, in that he had been saying very strong things for weeks leading up to that, And even though he made clear we're going to march over to the White House peacefully, everything that led up to that, and even the lack of wisdom in saying we're just going to march over, what, several hundred thousand people who believe the government's being stolen from them, and this may be the last free election they ever have, and their kids won't be able to vote, et cetera, because the government's taking the country away from them, et cetera. There was a lot of stuff that was being said that was very intense. So I have believed and said it that Donald Trump was morally responsible for what happened that day, but I don't believe he was legally responsible. I don't believe that a case could be made in a court of law that Donald Trump was legally responsible for what happened on January 6th. And I did not see any legal basis. Again, I'm not a legal scholar, I'm not a lawyer, but I didn't see any legal basis for the removal of Donald Trump from the ballots. And it seemed to me, it seems self-evident, I would think, to many Americans, that it was just a political hit job out of hatred for Donald Trump. And now there's talk, the Democrats are saying that they will find a way, even if Trump won, you know, to not accept the victory. I mean, this is, in my view, just political madness, political folly, and complete irresponsibility to the nation. Because, look, you know that things are so volatile. And I'm not justifying any of this. I'm just talking about what is. That things are so volatile that if Donald Trump was removed from ballots across America, because of which he could not win the election, let's just say it was key states or enough states that it actually happened, and it affected the outcome of the election, I do not believe that tens of millions of Trump supporters would just accept that. I don't know what would happen, but I don't believe they would just accept that and say, okay, fine, especially if they believe the elections were stolen in 2020. So I'm just talking reality. I'm just talking what's out there, okay? So the Supreme Court ruling, first, I do believe was legally correct from what I understand. And secondly, it was pragmatic. So I know the court is looking more at the legal issues, but it was pragmatic in that people are not just going to sit back after everything with COVID and people feeling that they were sold a bill of goods or they were that there was an overreaction. And then the people who believe the elections were stolen in 2020 and on and on. And I'm not arguing for a point of view either way here. I'm just talking about how people feel. You're now going to have a situation where the president is removed from ballots and people can't even vote for him. And you don't have to argue election being stolen. It's okay, right in front of your eyes. It's being rigged. It's being rigged. It's like in dictator-run countries or communist countries where you have the one candidate. We have free elections, but there's only one candidate. Or remarkably, the one candidate got 98% of the votes and there were other candidates, but they all got less than 2%. It's like, oh, and that's because the people love the dictator so much. No, the elections are rigged. So I'm glad the Supreme Court ruled the way it ruled. I have my own issues with Trump, but that's not what we're talking about here. The idea that Democrats would try to find a way to not certify a Trump victory, to me, again, that is political madness. And it is massive irresponsibility. Think of this, okay? Think of how many tens of millions of Americans love Donald Trump and feel a loyalty to Donald Trump and believe that Trump fights for them and therefore they should fight for him, all right? And take Trump himself, who can say things that are irresponsible, right? I mean, no one would say that he's perfectly wise with his words, even the greatest Trump supporter. So could you imagine a scenario in which the elections clearly were won by Donald Trump, that no one can dispute what came in the ballots, and they would line up with what polls were saying, and he legitimately wins the 2024 election, and then Democrats said, we're not going to certify. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. It's completely ridiculous, unrealistic on every level. But all this talk, all it does is fuel fires more for supporters of Donald Trump. And this is what those who oppose him and even hate him have to realize. I did a poll on Twitter asking about the latest indictments against Trump and, you know, the massive fines and these different things. and how that affected their opinion, their feelings toward Trump. And the single largest thing was that it strengthened their support of him. They didn't say, oh man, the guy's been found guilty of business malpractice in the state of New York or New York City. Or, oh no, Trump's been found to have sexually molested a woman. And no, they didn't believe the charges. They didn't accept the outcome. And it's not just a matter of blind loyalty. For some it is. There's an infamous Trump line that you could shoot somebody in Fifth Avenue and people would still follow him. There is truth to that. And there's no question that there are many, many, many that are that loyal to him that, you know, that no matter what he does, they're going to stand with him. But others are looking at this and say, it just doesn't make sense. The rulings are outlandish. It seems like a judge with a vendetta or a DA with an vendetta or a prosecutor attorney with a vendetta. It just looks like a political hit job. It seems so self-evident to so many. So the more these things happen, the more it increases Trump's stature and the more he's made to look like a martyr. So it's politically suicidal in that regard, in my view, for Democrats to be saying, well, we're not going to accept it even if he wins. And it's untenable. It can't work. It won't work. And there's not going to be a legal way that they can do it, in my view, or a way that if Trump won fair and square at the ballot box, that his voters would accept. Okay, Joe Biden's going to get the victory anyway because Democrats don't accept it. So all that to say, it's a lot of madness going on right now and still tremendous uncertainty between now and November 2024. But what I want to do when we come back is share some of my own journey and how I'm approaching the 2024 elections in a way that I hope will help you, in a way that I hope will help you keep your bearings and not get caught up with the political madness, because we ain't seen nothing yet. Things are going to intensify and get ugly and crazy, and who knows how many other court cases are going to be coming up and where else the Supreme Court is going to have to intervene and what other indictments are going to go forward. On all scores, it's a time of tremendous uncertainty and chaos, and I really do want to help you as our faithful listeners. I want to help you keep your bearings in the midst of the storm. All right, got a quick word from our great co-sponsor, Trivita. Stay right here.
Let's hear what Trivita customers are saying.
Dr. Brown, I can't wait to tell you that those supplements are absolutely amazing. My strength has gone up at least 15 pounds in everything I do. I mean, I can curl, like I'll usually do curls with arms. You know, I'll do 40 to 45. I was doing 60-pound curls 10 times in each arm. And then yesterday, I did a back workout, and I was doing weight that I haven't done since my 20s. And I usually ride my bike to the gym. It's about a 10, 12-minute bike ride. And then on the way back, after I've done my weight training, you know, I ride back, but I'm huffing and puffing. And I rode my bike there and back, and I had so much energy. I'm telling you, the combination of the nitric oxide with the MyoHealth is just amazing. I can't believe how much strength I have right now. I mean, I'm just really excited about it.
Trivita wants you to experience wellness too. Do something good for your heart and cardiovascular system. Learn how to get 25% off Nitric Oxide Plus. Call 800-811-9628 or go to Trivita.com. Use promo code BROWN25 in the shopping cart to receive 25% off your first order, and Trivita will give a substantial portion of your order to help support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 800-811-9628 or go to Trivita.com. Use promo code BROWN25 in the shopping cart. get 25% off Nitric Oxide Plus. Call 800-811-9628. 800-811-9628.
This is how we rise up. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Yes, a healthy church starts with a healthy you. Spiritually healthy, emotionally healthy, mentally healthy, physically healthy as well. So we encourage you to really pray about lifestyle change. We encourage you to pray about health and nutrition and make quality decisions that can prolong your life and increase the quality of your life. I turned 69 in a few days by God's grace, and I'm quite sure, based on everything I know about some condition of arteries and things like that, that if God did not intervene in my life 9.5 years ago and helping to make radical lifestyle changes that many of you know about, Nancy and I talk about in the book we wrote, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, that if God did not intervene and I made those radical changes, I wouldn't be alive today. Not just I wouldn't be as healthy and vibrant and strong and full of energy and life, but I wouldn't even be alive today. By the way, I didn't plan on getting into any of this right now, but now that I'm talking about it. So really give it serious thought. Lifestyle changes, exercise is important. And every day I add in these supplements, so they're not substitutes, but they can help in so many ways. And our friends at Trivita have a ton of really, really helpful products. So check them out for yourself. I think you'll really benefit from them. And 100% of your first order and more than a tithe of all subsequent orders goes to help us reach more people with the Line of Fire broadcast. We've got some really great open doors across America with our new 30-minute equipping broadcast. And as you stand with us, we reach more people, more lives are changed. It's a glorious cycle. And Trivita helps with that. So it's a double blessing. You get a health investment and you help us reach more people. So you can call 800-771-5584, 800-771-5584. And if you have questions, just go ahead and ask. Wonder about this, or what do you have that's good for this? And they'll tell you. You can also just go to Trivita.com, Trivita.com, and use the code BROWN25. So allow me for a moment just to speak from my own heart about my own journey in terms of involvement in politics. So writing in 1995, I said very clearly that there was no political solution to what was happening in America. Actually, I'm sorry, 1993, in my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, that there was no political solution to the problems at hand. And I've always said political involvement has its place. And if we just drop out entirely, if we say, well, the political process is corrupt and the politicians are corrupt and we're not of this world, and Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, and therefore we just drop out entirely, then we have no one to blame but ourselves when things go in a direction that we don't like. We have no one to blame but ourselves when the schools are taken over by people with very different agendas, and the school boards that reinforce it are run by people with very different agendas. When rights are taken away from us, when Christian schools have to conform to government norms we wouldn't agree with, when laws are passed to strengthen abortion rather than to strengthen the pro-life movement, and on and on and on, we have no one to blame but ourselves. So our involvement is important, but politics is not going to do what the gospel can do. Politics cannot save a lost soul. Politics cannot set a captive free. Politics cannot bring righteousness to society. So it has its place, but we must put it in its proper place. So I've never been one primarily called to politics. I've never been called to lobby. I've never been called to run for office. I've never been called to join together in someone's political campaign over a period of years and work with them, etc. Many others are. I haven't been. And I was never asked to endorse a major candidate. People were not knocking on my door. I'm not, you know, some big influencer that's going to get all these votes of, you know, if I say so, people will follow, because we've been giving political advice for years. We've encouraged churches to address the moral and cultural issues. We've encouraged churches to let their people know where candidates stand on issues and then let them make intelligent choices. But I've never been called to a primarily political emphasis. So when Rafael Cruz, Ted Cruz's dad, asked me if I would endorse his son, it was after he had spoken to a church. Some friends asked me if I would meet with him. And he asked if I would endorse. And I said, well, listen, we need someone who's not a Washington insider because so much needs to be challenged. And he said, well, my son is not. It's amazing he was even elected. It's a miracle because he didn't play by the normal rules and he shouldn't have even made it in Texas in the first place. And, you know, Ted Cruz would refer to the Washington cartel. And he said, you know, really, he's a man of faith. And okay, that was meaningful. And I said, you know, it's the issues, moral and cultural issues are really important to me. And if Ted Cruz really wanted to have leaders around him that could counsel and that could give input on these issues, I'd buy into that. You know, if there was some advisory council where we could give input on moral and cultural issues, and if my endorsement would help towards that, then I'm willing to do it. So I did. Now, Ted Cruz did not disappoint me. He did not let me down and do things that I wish he didn't do as a candidate. No, that didn't happen. But immediately, when I was on the air and then talking about different candidates and trying to evaluate honestly, people immediately said, well, you're a Cruz guy. You're a Cruz guy. And for me, my primary calling is to be a voice, not to be known as endorsing or standing with a particular political candidate. So I realized right off the bat that my ability to be a voice and to sound impartial as a voice, that had now been compromised. Not Ted Cruz's fault. It was my choice to endorse him. But I did something that in retrospect was disappointing. I was asked to speak at a couple of rallies that he had in North Carolina and then to lead in prayer at another one. And when I led in prayer, I didn't pray for Ted Cruz. I prayed for God's best for America and for him to work according to his plan in terms of raising up the candidate of his choice for the good of America. But I spoke at these two events in North Carolina, well-attended events, and I preached the gospel. I talked about the church's calling to be countercultural. I laid those things out, our calling to righteousness, and then why I supported Ted Cruz. But in one of the messages, I also was poking fun at Trump who I really did not like. I did not plan on voting for him at that point. Of course, I did when he became the candidate. But I got political. I mean, here I'm a minister of the gospel, and I got political in a way that I did not feel was helpful. And some months later, it's actually a few years later, I accidentally happened upon that clip on YouTube where I was preaching at this Ted Cruz event and jokingly saying, do we really trust the leader from New York who waffles on this issue and that issue? And I was doing a prayer retreat, an 8-day prayer retreat, when it happened on the video. So I was praying, I watched, it was like 4 or 5 minutes long, but I wept. I wept. I thought, that's not me. That's not my calling. And here, I'm just at a little platform of a regional meeting or a local city meeting, a political meeting, and just as someone that had endorsed Ted Cruz, I wasn't part of his team. I never even got him on my radio show. In fact, that I deviated from my calling. I wept over it, just not who God has called me to do, and not what message He's called me to identify with. So I'm just talking me, all right? But I want to encourage every one of you that's a preacher of the gospel and every one of you that's a follower of Jesus, don't do anything that compromises your witness. Don't do anything that just gets caught up with the spirit of the age and politics. I'm not saying that you should not be politically involved. In fact, some of you are called to be very politically involved. What I'm saying is, whatever your primary calling is, whatever your primary ministry is, whatever your primary identity is as a follower of Jesus, don't do anything that would compromise that at all. Because that calling and our witness is too precious to be compromised by anything. All right, we'll be right back on the other side of the break.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world, God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together and we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support. This is how we
rise up. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends. I'm The Line of Fire. Michael Brown here serving 5 days a week with your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Not taking any calls today, but boy, am I eager to pour into you every single day of the week and on weekends too. And, you know, I normally write somewhere between 4 and 5 articles a week. And I pray about what to write on. Sometimes major news just grabs me and I know I need to write on that. But the whole goal is to give you tools. The whole goal is to give information to help you sort out the issues and to know where to stand and why and to get into what Scripture says and to give hope and courage in the midst of the storm. So every week, at the end of the week, we let you know, here are the latest articles that I wrote. So you have all the subjects right in front of you. And here are the latest videos that we put out. So everything's there. If you miss things, if you don't follow everything we're doing or get our posts on social media, we'll let you know every single week. And then you just click on whatever you're interested in, and then you can share it with others. Maybe I'm giving voice to something that you're thinking. Maybe I'm articulating a concern you have. I was speaking at a church one day, and a couple came up to me, and the husband said, she calls you my voice. And I just smiled. So I'm glad that I get to be your voice for so many of you. So if you're not getting our emails, and that means you're not getting our monthly inspirational, informational, impartational frontline newsletter, then go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. And sign up for the newsletter, and you'll get our weekly e-updates as well. So getting back to some of my own journey, and I'm sharing this with the hope that it's helpful to you. So when it came to Donald Trump, I had grave concerns. I warned Christians when he's saying, I'm going to be your defender, don't put your trust in him to do it. I honestly did not think he would keep his promises if he was elected. I thought he would just use evangelicals like others have done. They get our votes, we vote them in, and then a wall gets put up between us and them. Either because the president he's in doesn't care, or his advisors put a wall around him, whatever it is. And I felt fairly sure that was the case with Trump. Now, again, just looking at things in the natural, New York businessman, these evangelicals getting easily conned and just swept up in the moment. And that's what I thought was happening. Now, if he was elected, I hoped I was wrong, right? But that was the case. So I wrote an article and I said, why I'm rooting for Donald Trump. You think, okay, why, how, what happened? This is when he became the candidate. And I gave all my concerns, all the reasons why I'd oppose Donald Trump, all the concerns about what he would do. And I went through all of it and said, okay, here's the deal though. He has opened up his life to these evangelical Christian leaders. Friends of mine like James Robison had a lot of access to him and really preached the gospel to him and challenged him and corrected him. And okay, they're there. And he is saying where he's going to stand on key issues. He's saying he's going to move the embassy to Jerusalem and Israel. He's saying he's going to appoint conservative pro-life justices to the Supreme Court. He's made some other statements that I like and agree with. So I hope he does it. I hope he does it. I have my concerns, but I hope he does it. And I voted for him in 2016. And yeah, there is still reason for concern in the rhetoric and the way he conducted himself. And it seemed that rather than him being changed by the church around him, it seemed he was having more of a negative impact on the church. But still, when it came to Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, or Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, on the issues that are most important to me, I'm telling you how to vote, but in the issues that were most important to me before God, it was hands down. It was night and day, Trump versus Clinton and then Trump versus Biden. And the contrast between the Republican Party platform and the Democratic Party platform and the issues that were important to me was also like night and day contrast. So I voted for Trump in 2016. With trepidation. I voted for Trump in 2020 with less trepidation because he kept his promises. Now, I had concerns, and this was the concern. The concern was, is the risk greater than the reward? The concern was, is the collateral damage so great that it nullifies the good? And my concern was increasingly that we were becoming so identified with Donald Trump, especially white evangelical Christians, that we were becoming so identified with Donald Trump publicly, outwardly, verbally, clearly, that it was hurting our witness in a way that would do more harm than the appointing of pro-life justices to the Supreme Court would do. Look, the overturning of Roe v. Wade goes back directly in terms of earthly credit to a president. You've got to credit Donald Trump for appointing three pro-life justices that helped to overturn Roe v. Wade. It's historic, it's major. And he did move the embassy to Jerusalem. When you're going back to George W. Bush, this was supposed to be policy. Under Bush, it was policy. He didn't do it. I actually go back before him to Bill Clinton. It was policy under President Clinton. And he didn't do it. And President Bush didn't do it. And President Obama didn't do it. And now here comes Donald Trump and he does it. And then fighting for believers, and even though it didn't go through Congress, him saying, okay, no more of the Johnson Amendment that restricts some of the free speech of clergy, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, he was keeping his promises and he was fighting. I didn't like a lot of the way he did what he did. But in my mind, if we can make it clear where we differ, if we can make it clear that Jesus is our Savior and he's the one we live for and die for, And then much, much more softly, and Donald Trump is the one we voted for as president. Okay, maybe we can do both. The problem is that some of us became so publicly identified with Donald Trump, or on our social media pages, we did. I know personally some of the members of the advisory council, the Faith Leadership Council, so James Robison being part of it, and some other colleagues of mine were part of it. And I know that behind the scenes, they were pushing on different issues. They were not just yes men. And some were challenging Donald Trump on his rhetoric and others talking about prison reform and things that needed to be done. Hey, Donald Trump did that as well. Got behind black colleges in historic ways and brought about some important prison reform that helped especially minority communities in America. There's so much good he had done, but I was just watching as we became more and more identified with him. And I became more and more concerned that in that way, we were making a deal with the devil. In other words, we were getting more political influence. We were getting a seat at the table, but at the expense of our witness. And as we got closer and closer to the 2020 elections, my wife Nancy spent many hours weeping, walking around the house weeping. Why? Because she saw the effect that Donald Trump was having on the church. What do I mean? I mean that we were becoming like him, that we were getting so incredibly divided over him and nasty and hostile to each other. It was almost as if that political spirit became our spirit. And again, I voted for him, right? In 2020, I voted for him, and I understood Nancy's concerns. And of course, she absolutely differed with Biden's policies and could not vote for Joe Biden. But I remember, as it was right after the elections and now the controversy swirling even more, and we were looking at social media pages of some of our friends who were solid Jesus followers and ministers of the gospel with decades of ministry experience. These were quality people. They are quality people. And we were reading their social media pages, and I just remember where we were. We were in different parts of the house, and we met in the living room. Hun, where are you? Where are you? We were both upstairs, we different parts of the house. We came down to the living room, and I remember I just put my head down next to where she was sitting on the couch and just began weeping. I said, these are what happened to our friends. What happened? They were so carnal. They were so crass. They were so nasty. They were so divisive. They were so worldly. And it was all for Trump. And if you didn't see it like that, then you were missing God, or you weren't right with God. It was so heartbreaking to see. And then in the aftermath, with the massive deception, the massive deception of the false prophecies, and Joe Biden will not be inaugurated, and Donald Trump will have 8 consecutive years, and the courts will overturn the elections, and the blue states will become red. And I'm watching people with giving timelines where this is all going to unfold, and it was false. It didn't happen. And then what happened on January 6th, I do not believe that there was an organized attempt to overthrow the government and an insurrection in that regard. I don't see it like that. But we were, I watched with horror some of the remarks being made by Christian leaders at the Jericho March, just days before this. I watched with horror different rallies, and people that I knew, and I knew them to be godly people in the years past, I watched them speak horrific political things. I mean, the complete merging of the gospel with politics. I mean, raising Donald Trump up as the savior of America. Only Trump can save America. I mean, I heard things that were absolutely frightening. And then preachers getting up, shouting and yelling, and saying, we are ready to raise up militias. We're talking about military battle, talking about guns. I mean, I'm watching this. I'm watching the clips in a state of shock and grief, seeing where things had gone. And that's where I began to see more clearly what Nancy had been weeping over, literally for several months leading up to 2020. Everything short of the storming of the Capitol, she told me was going to happen. She said, this is how it's going to unfold. And she was weeping. And she's saying, who am I? No one's going to listen to me. You know, we got all these prophets on TV prophesying this and that. And, you know, what if you differ with what they're saying? What if you don't accept what they're saying? So to me, it is so critically important, friends, that we learn our lessons here. And that's why I'm sharing so candidly, because this is a journey for all of us. I don't regret voting for Donald Trump twice. Based on what I knew and based on my understanding of things, I voted for him twice. Whether I'm voting for him in the future, I've said that I do not want to vote for him again, and I prefer another candidate. You say, well, what are you going to do in the fall? You know, I may not even tell anybody what I do. You say, what? Are you kidding me? We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Don't go.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to take this opportunity to talk to you about the importance of healthy blood flow and how it's enhanced by a miracle molecule known as nitric oxide. You see, blood vessels release nitric oxide, which increases blood flow known as something called vasodilation. At Trivita, we take blood flow seriously for our members, and we've developed a nitric oxide plus supplement that has been formulated with natural ingredients designed to maximize nitric oxide production in our blood vessels, which increases blood flow. You may be wondering why you don't have as much energy as you used to. One study that I came across revealed that by the age of 40, we only produce about 50% of the nitric oxide production as compared to our 20s, and by the age of 70, the study showed that we're only producing about 15 to 25%. I have good news. As we age, there's another way for our body to increase nitric oxide production, and that's by converting nitrates in vegetables like beetroot into nitric oxide. Bottom line, with more nitric oxide, we stimulate more blood flow to our vital organs and we experience more energy while supporting healthy blood pressure. Trivita's Nitric Oxide Plus has been formulated to increase nitric oxide production and blood flow at every age.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584. May you live with greater wellness. This is how
we rise up. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire, the special edition of the broadcast as we talk about the release today of The Silencing of the Lambs. If you see the cover, you'll be stirred. When you see the cover, when you read the contents, you'll be even more stirred. And as we lay out the issues and problems in the first half of the book, we keep doing so with hope. We keep doing so with examples of courage, both those in the secular world and believers. And then the second half of the book is just encouragement, exhortation, challenge, opportunity. Here, the second to last chapter of the book is called Turning Pitfalls into Platforms. And perhaps the example that comes to mind today that is the clearest example is that of Professor Jordan Peterson, recently resigned from his position at his university in Canada. I had him on my radio show right before his incredible rise around the world, where he became, as some said, the world's best known conservative intellectual, professor of psychology. And Dr. Peterson was on the show, and I just assumed that he was a born-again Christian who was being harassed by his university and kind of felt like a victim. Boy, was I wrong. Now, he absolutely had many Christian perspectives. Whether he is born again or not, God knows. He didn't claim to be back then, for sure. But certainly, he holds to many biblical values and biblical truths and principles. But the big thing was he was anything but poor me. Poor me. And that's what surprised me, because normally it's like, yeah, I can't believe what happened and it's so wrong. And well, he was calling out what was wrong, but not from the mentality of a victim. So what happened was, when Canada was about to pass a law that would require you to refer to a man who identified as a woman as she, or on campus require you to use the chosen pronoun, personal pronoun of the student, if they wanted to be known as they or she or Z or something else, you had to refer to them in that way, that he stood up against it. Why? He had studied communism for for many, many, many years. Brilliant thinker. He had studied communism. He had at one point been very strongly socialist in his younger years and worked with different socialist communist organizations in Canada, distributed their materials. So he understood from the inside, the more he read, the more he looked at things, how oppressive this could be. And one of the big issues was controlled speech, that you are told what you can say and can't say. So when he pushed back against it, yes, there was the absurdity of referring to a single person as they, or having to learn all these new personal pronouns, right? But he was willing to, you know, try to accommodate individuals and be loving and all of that. But there was an interview he had on a news TV station. I believe it was a news TV station. And the clip went viral. And he was asked, well, what if you're told you have to do this? The new Canadian law is passed and you have to do this. You must do this. He said, if that's the case, then I'll go to jail. And if they put me in jail, I'll go on a hunger strike, but I'm not going to capitulate. That's the man that was on my radio show. It's like, whoa, this is anything but a poor me kind of guy. Well, next thing, his work explodes. In fact, I'm just going to check on this. He had written a book, and it was, I think he worked on it multiple hours a day for something like 10 years or longer. Just absolutely extraordinary amount of work went into it. And let me just see here. What was the name of the book? Maps of Meaning. That was it. The Architecture of Belief. Came out September 2002. It's got a couple thousand plus reviews on Amazon now. I can almost guarantee you it had a handful of reviews, a very small number, a fraction of this before, because it's an intellectually dense book that would only appeal to certain people. But once he became so famous with his 12 Rules for Life, just an international bestseller, and then face-to-face, he's speaking to so many groups, hundreds of thousands of people he's addressing and then different nations, speaking through the media to different nations. You talk about turning something that was supposed to be a negative into a positive. And now here's one of his recent books, Hero on a Mission, A Path to a Meaningful Life. I'm sorry, that's about him. Myth and Meaning and Jordan Peterson, A Christian Perspective. So people writing books about Peterson, and on it goes. And his daughter, it seems, has had a real experience with the Lord based on a video of her I saw a few months back. But here's an attempt. Okay, the university says, we will not stand with you. Dr. Peterson, we will not stand with you. If there are court cases that come against us, if there are student complaints that come against you, we will not support you and stand with you. That's bad. That's bad. And now you could be effectively silenced. Instead, and I believe the hand of God was in this, it wasn't just random, he is now speaking to millions of people and getting a lot of quality information out as well. I don't mean we look to him for gospel insights right yet, but he has a whole lot of insights that are very much in harmony with Christian values and perhaps is growing in his own relationship with the Lord. God knows, and I haven't followed him closely enough to know more. Stumbling blocks become stepping stones. We see it over and over. That needs to be our attitude. The more different forces of society, be it big tech, be it some other group, be it the media, be it whoever, the more that people try to silence us, if we will walk with the Lord and not compromise our message, friends, the pitfalls can become platforms, the stumbling blocks can become stepping stones. Okay, just a few more things as we go through some of the contents of this book. How about this, chapter 11, time for professors to practice kamikaze academics. What's that about? Well, those are not my words, kamikaze academics. Those are the words of an Australian professor, a tenured professor who had the temerity, the boldness to differ with some of the prevailing scientific narratives of things like climate change, just saying, well, there are different scientific perspectives. He's not a flat earther. He's not holding up his Bible, yelling at people as they drive by and screaming, you're going to hell. He's not doing that. He is a respected professor getting out another point of view about a scientifically disputed issue, whatever the areas were being disputed. So his university basically did their best to cancel him, and he pushed back. Now, as a tenured professor, it's harder for them to fire him. But when he talks about kamikaze academics, what he's saying is, we're going to have to speak up, and we're going to have to tell the truth, and we're going to have to go against the grain. And if we lose our jobs, we lose our jobs. If we lose our reputation, we lose our reputation. Look, isn't that the very beginning of the gospel, friends? Isn't that gospel 101 for followers of Jesus? What does he say? If anyone wants to follow me, then that person has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever saves his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel will find it. So what does that mean? It means that if I order my life based on the opinion of others, I lose my life. If I order my life based on what's popular, what's not popular, what's going to help my reputation, what's going to hurt my reputation, as opposed to what's going to honor God or not, what's obedient to God or not, what's pleasing to God or not. If I order my life to please people, I don't mean please them like, how can I be a blessing in your life, but please them like, well, if I say this, they're not going to like me. If I post this, I'm going to lose friends on social media. If I take this stand, people will turn against me at work. If I have that man-pleasing mentality, I lose my life. I'm now a slave to what other people think. And trust me, the noose only gets tighter. Winston Churchill said something to this effect. Appeasement is like feeding a crocodile and hoping that it eats you last. So this is what we're dealing with, friends. Martin Luther King said, a man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right. He dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is true. Stand up for justice. Why? Because now you're a coward. Now you're fearing consequences more than fearing God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, don't fear those who kill the body and can't kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's the one we fear. And when we fear him, then we overcome all other fears of people and consequences. And then you're free. No one can fire you in that sense because you serve God. And he's got another assignment for you. If people say you lost, okay, you're out of here. We're not going to have you here anymore because you're acting on your convictions. Fine, you work for God. Then you obey him and he'll open a better door. You can be more effective. But this is what we must do. And the silencing of the lambs will help you. Their strategies for parents, their words of encouragement for ex-gay, ex-trans individuals and churches encouraged to stand with them, evangelists to get out and share the gospel. And then this new gospel holiday, the last chapter of the book, just mark it on your calendar. We'll tell you more about it. I'll tell you the name of it and why I felt led to do this. April 14th, mark it on your calendar. But then as soon as you have a second, read Esther 4:14, and that'll tie in directly. As soon as you have the silencing of the lambs, don't skip to the last chapter. Get the full impact of the book, but some of you may want to skip just to see what that last chapter is about. So friends, we are here in Jesus, called to overcome. The gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Not so that we can be wealthier, not that we can be more famous, not that we can have more earthly possessions, but greater in us so that we can stand tall, stand true to our convictions. Honor Jesus. Let the whole world know we're not ashamed of the gospel. And our message is a message of life, transformation. And in Jesus, we will overcome. You can't resist.